It's here and now, and while we wait for the Supreme Court to rule on same-sex marriage, we want to take a look at how Hollywood has portrayed same-sex relationships. In this Here and Now encore, NPR's film critic Bob Mondello says a Hollywood mini-genre has emerged, films in which characters go to court for issues involving sexual orientation.
What is arguably the most famous question ever asked in a courtroom about a line of poetry?
What is the love that dare not speak its name?
Was originally put by a British prosecutor to playwright Oscar Wilde in 1894. It was an attempt to trap Wilde into admitting to then-illegal homosexual conduct. His impromptu answer, while eloquent, reinforced his guilt in the eyes of the court. Here's actor Peter Finch delivering it as Wilde in a speech taken verbatim from the court transcripts in 1960's The Trials of Oscar Wilde.
The love that dare not speak its name. In this century, is such a great affection of an elder for a younger man as there was between David and Jonathan. Such as Plato made the very basis of philosophy, and such as you will find in the sonnets of Michelangelo and Shakespeare. It is a deep spiritual affection that is as perfect as it is pure.
Note how Finch is rattling off this speech, briskly businesslike for a button-down post-war era. 3 decades and many Oscar Wilde films later, here's what actor Stephen Fry did with part of that same speech in the movie Wilde.
It is the noblest form of affection. There's nothing unnatural about it. And it repeatedly exists between an elder and a younger man. When the elder has intellect, and the younger man has all the joy, hope, and glamour of life before him.
Tremulous, lingering almost sensually over phrases, this version is spoken in the full expectation that 1990s audiences will empathize with Wilde. Hollywood's long-term obsession with another real-life case required different strategies. Teen thrill killers Leopold and Loeb inspired both the trial of the century and multiple movies, but early ones had to be heavily fictionalized. Alfred Hitchcock made up a whole new case in Rope, which subtexted gay themes in 1948. A decade later, the movie Compulsion allowed defense attorney Orson Welles to hint a bit.
Immature boys of diseased minds, as plain as day.
But he talked about the trial's sensationalism stemming from his client's wealth, not their sexual orientation. 3 decades later, the film Swoon showed no such reserve and focused almost entirely on the killer's sexuality.
They experimented with mouth perversions. Nathan has many fantasies. Dickie would pretend to be drunk, and Babe would undress him.
I object.
For quite a while, most real-life court cases did not turn out well for lesbian and gay defendants, which restricted what filmmakers could do. And if fiction offered them a little more latitude, it still had to appear plausible. In Lillian Hellman's mid-century drama The Children's Hour, for instance, schoolteachers Shirley MacLaine and Audrey Hepburn were falsely accused of being lovers, but couldn't find enough support to prove their innocence in court.
Why did you refuse to come back here and testify for us?
Well, it wouldn't have done any good for us all to get mixed up in this unpleasant notoriety.
Even had a court heard their case fully, things likely wouldn't have gone well for them, for reasons movie characters spent decades beating around the bush about before attorney Denzel Washington laid them out clearly in the AIDS trial drama Philadelphia.
Let's talk about what this case is really all about. The general public's hatred, our loathing, our fear of homosexuals. And how that climate of hatred and fear translated into the firing of this particular homosexual, my client.
Washington is playing a deeply homophobic man whose opinions evolve on gay issues during the course of the film, evolve way past where many audience members were at that point. Philadelphia was released in 1993, 4 years before Ellen DeGeneres came out on TV, 5 years before the first episode of Will and Grace, 12 years before Brokeback Mountain. The judge's response in Philadelphia was almost startling to audiences at a time when homosexual activity was still outlawed in many states.
In this courtroom, Mr. Miller, justice is blind to matters of race, creed, color, religion, and sexual orientation.
With all due respect, Your Honor, we don't live in this courtroom, no, do we?
Today, in a limited but evolving sense, we do. at least judging from this week's cases before the Supreme Court. And the movie Philadelphia, the product of an industry that for business reasons worries, much as the court does, about getting out in front of public opinion, is starting to seem just as much a period piece as any film about Oscar Wilde. I'm Bob Mandela.
Music from the soundtrack of Philadelphia. That story from Bob Mondello originally aired in 2013. We're re-airing it now as the Supreme Court prepares to rule, perhaps next Monday, on same-sex marriage.